Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. In John chapter 10, verse 1 and the verses that follow, the Lord drops the figure of Himself as the door and presents Himself as the Good Shepherd. In this verse, He contrasts the object of the false shepherd with His own object of coming into the world. Today, Dr. Kinlow begins a series of messages on the Good Shepherd. Let's listen and learn.
Let us go to the Word of the Lord today. We are in the book of John, chapter 10, and we're going to read through eight verses, and I'm really only going to be teaching on really the first six. But matter of fact, I think we need to read through verse 10, and then I'm going to deal with, I think, up to verse 5. I don't know how long I'm going to be in this series of sermons. I did quite a bit of study in this chapter, so I'm not sure how long I'll be here, but I will finish when I finish. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to begin to talk about today, to talk about the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
And so I'm going to start reading at verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse 8, and then you can respond by reading back to me verses 9 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had to them. Verse 7, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. 9:10, read.
Or if anyone enters through me, he will be saved.
Can we say amen? And you might be seated. A parable is a short, simple story which serves the purpose of illustrating and teaching spiritual truth. Jesus often taught by use of parable. And this is the case in this short story, which has been entitled by many as the parable. In verse 11, even Jesus himself calls himself the Good Shepherd. In this parable before us, I see the truth that Jesus is the only shepherd of the people of God, or say it like this, we will discover that he is the only Messiah and Gentile. We shall discover that Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, he personally knows all who belong to him, and then that those who belong to him, they will not follow a false Messiah, or better, look at it like this, they will not follow a false teacher who is teaching a false. Now, before I begin to talk about these things, I want to say in advance that in this parable, Jesus is of the sheep. That's verse 7. I want to also say Christ is the true, or he is the good shepherd. Verse 11, sheep, or those who are in the fold of God, are the people of God. That's 15 through 16. And then the thieves and robbers are false, or they are false teachers who teach false doctrine. And of course, that is verse 8. And just knowing this ahead, or knowing this ahead of reading this parable, it'll make it much easier to understand and also apply the truth of this parable to our lives. So I know you didn't remember those, but at least I planted a seed in your mind, because we'll get back to all of that, all right? Notice verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief. Jesus begins his teaching concerning the fact that he is the good shepherd or the only true Messiah by saying, truly, truly, the King James said, verily, verily, regardless of which translation you are using, the phrase truly, truly, or the word verily, verily, it comes from the Greek word that simply means true. And so it's really emphatic here. He mentions it two times in a row. And so what he's saying is, when he says it is true, verily, verily, truly, truly, what he is saying is that what I'm about to tell you is absolutely true with no chance of it being false. Let me say it again. Verily, verily, truly, truly, the Lord is saying what I'm about to tell you, it is absolutely true and there is no chance of it being false. Therefore, what the Lord was going to teach his audience and also us is the absolute truth. There is no chance of it being false. And the thing Jesus is speaking of, which is absolutely true, is the fact that he is the only or the true Messiah and Savior of both Jew and Gentile. He is the only Messiah and Savior of the fold of God's people. While everyone else or anyone else claiming to be the Messiah, anyone else claiming to be the Savior, anyone else claiming to have another way to God is a false Messiah or a false teacher teaching a false message. The way our Lord illustrates this is by way of parable. And this parable concerns the ancient sheep pen during the New Testament period. This is what is meant by the phrase, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep. When one entered the door into the fold of the sheep, they were then inside of a sheep pen. During the New Testament period, the sheep pen, it was either a stone or mud brick structure. It was sometimes a cave in the side of a hill. It only had one gate or one door by which to enter. Therefore, the only legal way for a shepherd to enter the sheep pen was through this one door. Are you with me so far? Amen? Let me say it again, because that is extremely important. There was only one door on this sheep pen. And there was only one way for the shepherd to legally enter amongst the flock of sheep, and it was through this one door. There was always one person whose only job was to guard the one door which led into this sheep pen. You see, beloved, inside of the one sheep pen, there were numerous flocks of sheep led by numerous shepherds. And so in this one sheep pen, there are numerous flocks of sheep. They didn't all belong to the same shepherd. And so you have many diverse flocks of sheep inside of this one pen. The door or the gatekeeper would only permit the person he knew for certain was the shepherd of a particular flock of sheep to bring his sheep into the pen. The doorkeeper would make sure no one else could go in and out of the sheep pen except the one who was a true shepherd of a flock of his sheep. Anyone else who tried to get into the sheep pen that the doorkeeper did not know was either a thief or a robber. The thief and the robber Jesus mentions in this verse, they were both criminals, but they were different types of criminals. The word thief there, it's a Greek word. It means one who stole by being subtle. It was one who stole by giving the appearance of being a true shepherd, even though they were not. The thief is one who stole by trickery and deception. The robber, he also stole, but he didn't steal by being subtle or through trickery, but he stole by violence or force. The Greek word, it means force, violence, it means to plunder. And so the robber was a thug who took what he wanted by force. The goal of both the thief and the robber, however, it was the same. Both wanted to exploit the sheep. Both wanted to take a selfish, unfair advantage of the sheep for personal gain. All right? Now, verse 2 says, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Notice Jesus says in this verse, he who enters the sheepfold by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Now remember, the sheepfold is symbolic of the people of God. Therefore, what the Lord is saying is, he who comes into the midst of the people of God by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. In contrast, the one who tried to enter the sheepfold, or the one who tried to enter into the midst of the people of God by some other way other than the door, the Lord says they are a thief or a robber. In verse 2, Jesus is speaking of himself, because he entered the midst of the sheepfold, or he came into the midst of the people of God by the door. He came into the midst of his people the only legal or legitimate way. Just as the only legal way for the ancient shepherd to enter into the sheepfold was through the one door into that sheep pen. You see, beloved, Jesus proved he was the only true shepherd of God's people. He proved he was the only Messiah and Savior, both Jew and Gentile. How did he do it? He did it by entering into this world and thus into the midst of the people of God by fulfilling all that the Word of God, specifically the Old Testament Scripture, predicted of the Messiah. See, this was Jesus' legal or lawful entry into the midst of the people of God. He came the legal way by fulfilling all God predicted of the Messiah. In Isaiah 7 and 14, it predicted he would be born of a virgin. And we see this fulfilled in Luke 1, 26 through 38. Micah 5, 2 said he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And we see this fulfilled in Luke 2, 1 through 6. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16 said he would be of the lineage of David, or his throne would be from the line of David. And we see this fulfilled in Luke 1, 32 in those genealogies that we never read. Amen. When Christ was on the cross, he fulfilled Psalm chapter 22, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you read Psalm 22, he is fulfilling that psalm. Jesus would not die on the cross until he knew he had fulfilled all things that the Old Testament scripture said the Messiah would fulfill. John 19, 28 reads like this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. Even after he was dead, he fulfilled scripture. Are you with me today? Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says after Jesus died by willing away his spirit to the Father, the Roman soldiers came to break his legs. You see, but the Romans, they would break the legs of a crucifixion victim in order that they would quickly suffocate to death. However, when they came to break Jesus' legs, he was already dead. Now, John says this happened in order to fulfill the scripture. John 19, 36, for it says, for these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. When Jesus rose from the dead, guess what he fulfilled? Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Thou will not leave my soul in hell or Sheol, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Peter preaches this on the day of Pentecost, and it was a reference to the resurrection of Christ from the dead. I could go on and on and on. There are about 360 prophecies predicted in the Old Testament concerning the coming Messiah, and guess what? Jesus fulfilled them all. See, he came into the world the only way. He came into the world the legal way, the right way, by fulfilling all that God had predicted of him. This is why Jesus says of himself that he came into the midst of the fold of God's people, or sheep, by the door, or he came into this world the only legal way, proving who he was, the Son of God, God incarnate in human flesh, the man who was God and God was also a man, the only Savior from sin, and the only Messiah and deliverer from death, hell, and the grave. And he did this by fulfilling in his life and in his death and in his resurrection all that the Old Testament scripture said the Messiah would accomplish. So he came the right way, and the only one that has these credentials. Amen. Nobody else can, we can't say that of anyone else. In contrast, all others who have claimed to be the Messiah or claim to have another way to God are thieves and robbers. In other words, they are false teachers who teach a false message. All who came after the Lord ascended back to his Father and claimed to be the Messiah, they are thieves and robbers. Those who claim they have another way to heaven other than through the person of Christ, they are thieves and robbers. See, these are those who attempt to come into the midst of the sheepfold. They attempt to come into the midst of the people of God, either being as tricky and subtle as a thief, or they attempt to enter the midst of God's people by brute force. Just as a street thug will rob someone at gunpoint. Now I'm going to talk about this a little later on. You know, we got two types of false prophets. We got the thief and the robber. Wow. See, the thief is a Noel Jones kind of guy. Amen. Y'all ain't with me today. Amen. Smooth. Every time I see that guy, I want to put on that Sade song, Smooth Operator, amen. And I heard him one night quote, you know, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And then he said, but he did have to change. Now, how can Jesus be the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has to change to adapt to man's changing? Now, I heard, and he said it so smoothly, amen. And I can imagine a lot of people saying, you know what? That's right. No, it's not right. Amen. See, you either got the thief or you got the robber. He's a false prophet at just like a street thug. He normally threatens you if you don't believe what he's saying. You know, God's going to kill you if you don't believe what I say. God's going to make you sick if you don't receive this. Something bad is going to happen to you. And then they always buttress that with that verse out of context. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. See, that's everybody else in comparison to Jesus. Amen. List every so-called prophet, Messiah, or great teacher of religion, no matter who they are or what religion they founded, in comparison to Jesus, they are thieves and robbers. Amen. The Lord says to him, the doorkeeper opens. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, or to the true shepherd of the sheep, it says the doorkeeper opens. Remember, there was a doorkeeper at the entrance of these sheep pens, and he would only let in one who was a true shepherd of his sheep. Many commentators say there is no way to tell who this door Jesus says open the door for him was or is. But, you know, let me take some license here. I believe it was God the Father. After Jesus' baptism, the Father declared in Matthew 3:17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When Jesus began his messianic ministry amongst the people of God, the Father opened the door and let him in by saying, testifying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so the Father, you know, the Father never testified or bore witness of anyone like he did of Jesus in these words. Amen. Several years ago, I heard a particular person declare himself to be God's master broker. And he said he could intercede in matters of salvation between God and man. Now, when he said this, I didn't hear a voice from heaven. I didn't hear a voice that said, "This is my beloved master broker." in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. I ain't heard nothing. Amen. The reason why is because the Father opened the door for Jesus to enter amongst his people, amongst his sheep. And he has slammed the door on all others. From this, we can say without any reservation that Jesus, he is in a class all. There are none that are even close to being like him. No one else can say they were the monogenes, the only begotten of God, the only unique, one of his kind, Son of God. No one can make that claim. No one else possesses the credentials he has to prove beyond any doubt that he really is the Lord of glory. He is the only one of his kind. He is Messiah. He is Savior. He is Lord. Amen? The Father testified of this concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. The scripture says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice Jesus said, the sheep, or the people of God, hear his voice, for he is the true shepherd of the sheep. He calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out. The shepherd during the New Testament period named all of his sheep, and he knew all of them on sight, and he could call out their names. Now that seems strange to us, a sheep is a sheep, amen? You've seen one sheep, you've seen them all. No, the shepherd, he could actually grab the face of his sheep and look at it. And he knew every sheep by name. He could distinguish his sheep from 100 other sheep. He knew them on sight, and he knew them all by name. And when he called to his sheep, they would hear his voice. And they would come to him, and he would lead them out to pasture. What is so amazing about this is the fact that, remember, these sheep pens most often had many different flocks of sheep in them. And these sheep were all mixed together. In spite of this, a particular shepherd could still spot all the sheep that belonged to him, and he could call them all by name. And not only that, the sheep could distinguish his voice from all the other shepherds' voices. And when he called to them, they came to him, and he would lead them out to pasture. Jesus knows all the names of all who belong to him. Amen. Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, he knows his flock. He knows all who are part of his church. He knows each individual believer by name. The most important question I can ask based on this truth is, does Jesus know your name? Amen. Wow. Amen. And now we know God is omniscient and he knows all things. Of course he knows my name, Pastor, so I'm ahead of y'all, because some of y'all, you know, junior theologians, I'm ahead of you. Amen. I'm asking, does he know you as one of his sheep? Amen. Now, he knows who you are and everything else. Amen. Including last night. Amen. Amen. And some of you last night was Saturday night. Amen. So he knows, but no, does he know you as one of his sheep? One who belongs to him. One who is in the fold of God. There are many who claim to know the Lord. But I think it's much more important that Jesus knows who you are.
Yes.
Or he knows you as one of his sheep.
Yes.
Part of his flock. Part of the people of God who belong to him.
Yes.
Is your relationship with God personal? Is it personal? Is it one-on-one? Or is it just a Sunday thing? Amen. Does your God know you? Because you talk to him. And he talks to you through his word. Amen? Do you talk to the Lord throughout your day? Can we catch you driving down the street in your vehicle talking to the Lord? Everybody else think you crazy. Amen. Because ain't nobody else in that car. And look at that guy. I do it all the time. Amen. I preach sermons to myself. I talk to God. And my wife and daughter, they're used to it. We get a visitor over. I'm downstairs on my stage. Pastor got visitors? No, he's just down there. You know, I'm talking to myself, talking to the Lord out loud. Or sighing to the Lord out loud, or preaching the sermon, or doing something, you know, because when it's personal.
Yes.
See, this is how you relate to God when He
yes.
knows you.
Yes.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
Now, you know, some of y'all only relate to God when you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that one. Amen. You better make your calling and election sure. Amen. Does God know who you are? Does Jesus know you by name? And even more importantly, do you recognize his voice? Notice it says, verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and notice it says, the sheep hear his voice. Strange word there, it's the word akouo. It means to hear with understanding. The sheep hear the voice of the Lord with understanding. Those who are true sheep of the Lord, those who are truly of the fold of God, those who are known by the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been genuinely saved, they hear the voice of the Lord with understanding.
Yes.
Or look at it this way. Even though they do not understand immediately, the Lord will make sure that they eventually do. And I say this because the Bible says after Jesus finished his words, all the way up to verse 5, verse 6 says, this figure of speech spoke Jesus to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. And what did he do? He didn't leave them there.
Amen.
The Bible says, so he said again. And then he states it to them very plainly, 7 through 10. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
Amen.
The reason why Jesus, the good shepherd, will make sure you, as one of his sheep, understand his words, or the words in the scripture, is because God wants his people, his sheep, to know with understanding. All that he intends for them to know. Most of you want to know the secret things of God. Amen. What's that, Deuteronomy? That's where you at. I don't know how many times I've got this question. You know, Revelation says when the Lord comes back, he has a name written on him that no man knows. Pastor Kenlow, what is that name? Amen. Well, said nobody know it. See, most of us want to know what God doesn't want us to know. Amen. But listen, God wants you to understand all that he intends for you to understand. Now, I admit that what God has revealed to us in his word is vast. And I don't believe anyone understands it all, but I do believe God will see to it that you, as one of his sheep, continue to hear and understand the word of God from the moment you come to know Christ as Savior until the day you are with him in heaven. In other words, God will enable you to progressively grow in the knowledge of his word from the moment you come to know him until the day you stand before him. Amen?
Wow.
Because the sheep hear his voice with understanding.
Yes.
Have you ever read Paul? He often says, the Holy Spirit through Paul, he often says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren.
Yes, yes.
Now, I know that's the King James, New American Standard. I would not have you uninformed, brethren. The reason why we have many statements like this in the Word of God is because the Lord, Jesus the Good Shepherd, he wants his sheep, his people to hear his voice, his word.
Join us tomorrow for part 2 of The Good Shepherd. It will help you better discern the false shepherd who has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. There are many out there now doing just that. Join us Monday for the second part of this great message.